We're going to welcome, Shane's going to come and preach. So one more big clap, and we're going to give Shane a big welcome to come and preach the word to us.
Good morning. Greetings from Nashville, Tennessee, USA. Good to be here. Let me pray real quick before we get started. Jesus, we love you. We worship you and we trust you this morning with our lives, with everything that is precious to us, with everything that we need, with everything that we desire deeply in our hearts. We know that you will provide for us. Ask that you would speak through me today on missional living. I pray that you would speak, not me, that you would speak and that you would be glorified. In your name, amen. So glad to be here. We got in yesterday, long flight, didn't sleep much. So if I start nodding off at any point, just yell and I'll wake up. But very glad to be here. Noel had asked me to come and speak on missional living. And again, it's a fancy title, Director of Missional Living. What does that mean? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you at the end. But first, I want to talk about what missional living is. But before I do that, I want to talk about why we want to live missionally and why we want our churches to live missionally. So let's jump into that. So by way of prologue, I want to talk about a few things. Number one is we are living in a much larger story than we are able to comprehend. So each of us has a small story, right? We each have our own story, our own world, things that happen to us that are deeply personal, that mean a lot to us. And then there's a larger story that's much bigger than that, and that's God's story. That's the story that he's been telling since the beginning of time. And it goes on way after we're gone. It's a story that is so large that we can't possibly be filling the whole thing. We get to play a beautiful part in that, but we have a small part in that because it's his story. It's not our story. But we get to enjoy being a unique part in that. God created each of us to be unique and individual. There's no one person in this room that is alike. Would you agree? Not one of us. We're all uniquely made, uniquely gifted by God. He didn't make any of us the same. We're all different. And because of that, we all have an incredible part to play in that larger story. Let's think of it like this. Let's think of it as the Dublin Symphony. Beautiful, beautiful scene, majestic piece of music being played, musicians accomplished, skillful, playing, conductor conducting. The conductor is Jesus. Each of us is sitting on a chair playing a beautiful instrument that is unique to us. No one else could play like you play. No one else could play like I play. So each of us are sitting there. We're attentive. We're listening to Jesus as he's conducting us in a symphony. Think about that. He is conducting us in a symphony. That's the larger story. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's all of us. And it doesn't just include this room, this building. It's everyone in Dublin. That's how big it needs to be. It needs to be the whole city, not just the church. It needs to go beyond the walls. And that's what missional living does. Does that make sense? Am I talking too quick? Can you guys understand me? Got a little Texas accent going on, so maybe. Okay, so larger story. We're all born into a larger story. It's not just about us. It's about all of us. God is writing this thing called the gospel in each and every one of our hearts. And it plays from the minute he spoke it into existence until he takes us home. That's the larger story. So that's one part of the context that we need to understand before we can understand what missional living is. The second part is that you were born into a world at war. We were born into a war. I'm not talking about the IRA. I'm not talking about World War II. I'm talking we were all born into a war. There's a very fierce war going on around us. You can feel that. I don't have to sit up here and give you examples. You know that in your own heart. You felt it this morning when you woke up. Should I go to church? Gosh, I don't know. There's something that's playing against us, that is playing against us, playing our part in that larger story. Would you agree? You feel that. So the enemy is set to take us over. That's his objective. That's what he wants to do. So part of this larger story involves the not so pretty, the not so nice, the war, the battle aspect, that military mindset of this is very strategic. This was planned out long before we were born, and it'll go on long after we die. But we have a unique part to play in that war. So what is that war about? Why is that war being fought? It's being fought for us, right? We are the things that the enemy is after. Listen to this story, this song, David Wilcox, great songwriter. I want to read you this lyric. It's called Show the Way. He says, you say you see no hope. You say you see no reason we should dream that the world would ever change. You're saying love is foolish to believe because there'll always be some crazy with an army or a knife to wake you from your daydream and put the fear back in your life. Look, if someone wrote a play just to glorify what is stronger than hate, would they not arrange the stage to look as if the hero came too late? It's almost in defeat. It's looking like the evil side will win. But on the edge of every seat from the moment that the whole thing began, it is love that makes the mortar, and it's love that stacked the stones. It's love that made the stage here, though it looks and feels like we're alone. In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. And that's what we have to hope in. Love wrote the play. It may seem like Jesus is coming too late. It may seem like when you're crying out in prayer, God help me, that it's not coming on time. But we have to remind ourselves that God, in his beautiful love, wrote the play. This is all his. It's not ours. But we belong to him, and so we get to be a part of that. So the larger story is the play, okay? And God wrote the play. Let's look at John 10:10. You think of this war that we're talking about, that we live in. The thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. Those are not polite or kind names. Steal, kill, and destroy. Think about that. Is there something in your life right now that feels like it is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you? Because if it does, it is. That is the enemy's heart to you, is to come and steal your love, steal your joy, steal your home, steal your wife, steal your children. He is out to take everything that you have. Because everything we have that is good is from God, right? Everything we have is good. And he wants to take it away. So you must understand that. I'm not trying to scare anybody with the spiritual warfare thing, but it's real. It is real. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does the next line say? But he has come to give us life. Yes. And life to the full. And that's what we're after, isn't it? All of us. We all want more life. It's 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Think of that word, devour. That's not just he wants to come tempt you. No, he's here to take everything you have. He's here to steal your heart. Coming to devour. And who gets to control that? Who gets to stop that? We do. We do. Do you ever notice that all the stories you like, the movies, they all follow the same format? Have you ever seen that? Great movies out of Hollywood, the great stories, the great Irish stories, they all follow the same format, don't they? There is, starts out, everything's at peace. Everyone's good. And then something really bad happens. And then there's got to be someone to come in and remedy the situation. There's got to be someone that comes in that could save the day. And that person always comes in at the last minute, right? They're forced to sort of come in. But once they come in and save the day, does the evil one just go away? No, he always makes another attempt, right? He's got to come back. It's like the guy in the action movie that gets shot and he's down and you think, oh, he's gone. And then he gets back up and he gets his gun. And then there's an ending, right? And how does it always end? Happily ever after. So that's the taste of eternity that we get. Did you ever wonder why all those stories follow the same format? Did you ever think about that? Because yours does. Yours does. There is evil in every story because there is evil in your story. And we don't really live like that, do we? We don't really live like there's evil in our story, that there's something coming to attack us, that there's something that's after us. But there is. So your stories all follow the great story, the larger story, because God wrote the best plot and the best story that could have ever been written. And regardless of whether you're a believer or not, Hollywood will follow it till the end because it sells, it works, it's what we want. Did you ever see the movie The Matrix? That story originally was written, that movie was originally written from a Buddhist point of view. There was no evil in it. It was just be good. And it didn't work. So they had to go back and rewrite it with a Christian perspective. That's because your story doesn't work in Buddhism. It only works in Christianity because that is the true story. The other part three is the invasion of a kingdom, and that's part of this world at war. Jesus is invading this kingdom with his kingdom. We all know that we live under the kingdom of darkness, right? This world has been blinded by darkness because the evil one has taken over. And so what we're seeing in this war is Jesus invading this kingdom with his kingdom. His is the kingdom of love and the kingdom of life, the kingdom of light. Everything good is coming in that kingdom. And so it is invading. So you're feeling that tension. You're feeling that uneasiness because there's a kingdom invading. There's a great battle going on, a battle that's much larger than any of us that we couldn't possibly fight on our own. But you know what that battle is being fought over? Your heart. It's being fought over your heart. Let me read a few scriptures for you and tie these together. First one is Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Luke 12:34. You don't have to turn to these. I'll just read them to you. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart. And then a few more. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. Mark 12:29-30. Notice Jesus mentions heart first. And then finally, trust in the Lord with all of your, and lean not on your own understanding. What is he saying to us about our hearts? What is Jesus saying about our hearts? It must be pretty important. Vitally important. If we're told to guard our heart above all else, what does that say about the importance of our heart? And what does that say about how we've neglected our hearts? It's all being fought over your heart. This whole thing, the whole story is being fought over your heart. It's being fought over the hearts of Dublin. This entire city is at war. The culture is at war against God. And God is at war against darkness. But we know who ends the story, right? We know who wins. And how great is that? Think of that. So if our heart is vitally important, and let me say this, I don't mean this in any way of to judge, but from what I've seen in discernment, the Catholic Church did a terrible job of missional living. He did a terrible job of downplaying the importance of our hearts. It became routine. It became just do this and you'll get through. And again, I'm not casting judgment. I'm just speaking in discernment. What Jesus came to do was not to ignore your heart, but to engage your heart. He came to fight for your heart because it's worth fighting for. Above all else, guard your heart. He came after you, after your heart. And that's what he's not going to leave until he's done. Okay, so what is missional living? What does that mean? I think everybody has a different concept of that word mission. I know most of the people that I talk to in our church in Nashville say, okay, if I live missionally, does that mean I've got to go be a missionary in Africa? I don't know. Is that what God's calling you to do? Does it mean that I have to sell everything and give it to the poor? I don't know. What's God telling you to do? There are a couple of different missions. You hear the mission statement, right? Business has a mission statement. What's our company about? Military has a mission. We're going to go on and do this mission. This is what we're going to accomplish. But to live missionally is to live with intent and purpose, is it not? That we were all created uniquely, made unlike anyone else, and we have a specific mission that falls into the larger story of God's entire mission. So mission means a going out, right? Not staying behind, not sitting in our seats, but a going out, a moving out, taking God with us in a missional way. What was the mission of Jesus? What did he come to do? We find in Luke 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me. The Message puts it, to find and restore what has been lost. What has been lost? What did he come after? It's our hearts. Yeah. Our hearts got lost in the process of sin and darkness and the constant beratement of culture and ideas and movies and music and all the things that we look to for life that couldn't possibly give us life. So Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was your heart. So if he came to ransom your heart, literally God leaving heaven, coming to earth to become like you, to seek and save your heart, again, it must speak to the importance of each and every one of our hearts. To leave the 99 to come find the one, right? So he came here to restore. What did he come to restore? If he came to seek and save your heart, what did he come to restore? Faith? What else? Hearts, yeah? Life, thank you. He came to restore life. That's what we all desire, isn't it? That's what the heroin addict is looking for in the street right now, isn't he? Life. That's what we, when we go to the pub and have a few too many to drink, we're looking for life. Right? In our marriages, are we not looking for life? In our friendships, are we not looking for life? Going on a mission trip, are we not looking for life? Everything that we're after, everything that we go after in our lives, we're looking for more life. We're, in essence, taking our umbilical cord and sticking it into something else to fill us with life. Because it's what we desperately want and what we desperately need. If we don't have life, we don't have joy. We don't have peace. Right? So life is what he came to restore. Let's think about that for a minute. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. There it is again. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So that's our light. That is what we're living for, his life. Do you understand how deep and essential life is to your heart? For each and every one of us. We can't make it without life. And Jesus came to bring that and to restore that and to make that new, to give life back to our hearts. Let's look at Romans 5, 9 through 1. Since you have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, Jesus? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, listen to this verse, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Did you see that change? So the cross, on the cross, when Jesus died, he bought us pardon, right? He reconciled us, his enemies, to God. But it was through his resurrection that he gave us life. And that is what we live for. That is what we need. That is what we have. So do you understand that? This is a larger story we're in. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It is about each and every one of us playing a unique and personal part in God's story. He made you unlike anyone else so that you could serve him in ways that no one else could. He gifted you in ways that he didn't gift your neighbor. And he made you unique so that you could love him in a unique way, so that you could bring to life for your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, what Jesus really is. It's not a myth. It's not some legend. It's not some traditional religion. We're talking about life here, the essence of life. He came after your heart to seek and to save you. So think about this, the term ambassador. You know this term ambassador. So in our country, we had an ambassador that was killed for the first time in 35 years in Libya. The compound was ambushed and they were killed. An ambassador does what? They come to serve. Right, they come to represent a country. In our case, Chris Stevens was representing America in Libya. He had authority to speak for the president in that country. So if Jesus calls us to be ambassadors, what does that say about us? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So if we are Christ's ambassadors, what does that mean that we have, each of us? We have authority to speak for the king, right? We're all children of the king. We have the position, the ability to speak on behalf of Jesus. Now, I want to be careful there. I'm not saying that you have the ability to rewrite the Bible. You have the ability to speak his words to the world, to give them life. And you have his authority to do so. That's your job. You're an ambassador in your country, in this city, for the kingdom of God. Think about that. Ponder that for a second. You are the ambassador for Jesus Christ to the city of Dublin to seek and to save this town through him. That's missional living in a nutshell. Being an ambassador for Jesus wherever you are, whether it's at home, whether it's your work, whether it's on the street passing your neighbor, you are an ambassador for life. For life. In you is life. And you are an ambassador for that life to this city in everything you do. Not to put too much pressure on you, but you are an ambassador for Jesus to bring his love and to bring his life in this city. How awesome is that? And yet, how heavy is that? Don't get bogged down with the heaviness, okay? It's an incredible joy. It's an incredible privilege to live as an ambassador for Christ. I want to read you this quote. This is by Frederick Buechner. It says, "The place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Let me read that again. The place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That's missional living. That's it in a nutshell. Is to find that place where your deep gladness is. What is that for you? What is that in your life? Is it encouraging someone? Is it music? Is it being hospitable and fixing a meal for someone? Is it grabbing someone and just saying, hey, I'd love to pray for you right now? Is it prayer? What is your deep gladness? What has God gifted you with uniquely that no one else has? And how can you apply that to meet the world's deep need? Let's not kid ourselves. The world has incredible needs because we have incredible needs, right? The world is just people, made up of people, with hearts that are broken just like ours are broken. Yet we have something unique that has happened to us. We have had an experience with Jesus. Jesus has healed us. He's healed our hearts. And he's now pleading with us to protect and guard those hearts. Because out of your heart flows the wellspring of what? Life. It's not your life. It's his life. But outside of these walls, that is desperately what this city needs. Life. So we came here to serve for a week on a mission trip with these guys and gals. And it's always fun before you go talking about what's going to happen, and then God totally surprises you when you get here. We came to serve. We came to work with heroin addicts. We came to work with Muslims. And when I get up in our church at home in Nashville and announce, hey, who wants to go to Dublin? Everybody's like, yeah, let's go. But then when I say, okay, who wants to come work with Muslims and heroin addicts? Everybody's like, I think I'm busy that week. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. So these guys, 10 of us, decided to take the week off from our jobs, our families, our lives, and come serve the city. And the incredible part is that we get so much more out of it. I tell them this on the way over. Yes, you're going to serve. Yes, you're going to be a light. Yes, you are going to be an ambassador for Jesus. But I'm more interested in what Jesus is going to do with your heart while you're here. What he's going to show you uniquely about yourself that you didn't know before. We call it a surprise. We prayed that God would surprise us on the way over. And so each of the team is looking for their surprise. Some God may have revealed to them, some not yet. But they came to have an experience with Jesus, right? Because when we do that, what happens to us? We get fired up, right? We get ready to go. It's like with the kick drum. I was like, we're ready to go. Because we get excited because we realize, that was awesome. Thank you for the kick drum. We realize that when we have that experience with Jesus, it solidifies in our faith that not only he is real, but that he loves us deeply and intimately more than any other human being ever could. And it makes us want to give it away. We want to give our hearts away. We want to fight for each other, right? We want to fight for the hearts of other people because we realize how vital and important every heart is. Thank you for your word. Potential. We all have the potential to fight for each other's hearts. Do you know someone today that could use a little fighting for? At home? At work? Maybe just a neighbor, a friend. Someone that needs to be fought for. To know that Jesus is so real to you that you would be willing to step out of your comfort zone and love them by fighting for them. And what does that look like in your life? What does that look like to you? To live with a passion, knowing that you are an ambassador for Jesus to bring love and life to your friend, to your spouse, to your neighbor. That's what it's all about. So in order to do church God's way, we have to learn how to live missionally. To live missional is nothing more than finding your deep joy, your deep gladness, and sharing that with an incredibly hungry world. And the interesting thing is that your part is so unique that no one else can do it for you. So let's say you hear this today and you're like, I don't know, Shane knew what he was talking about. I don't think I'm going to do that. Something will be lost. Something will be lost. It would be like in a story if a character did not show up. Something is lost. We are all so vitally important to the larger story that if we don't do, if we don't play our part, so to speak, something gets lost and it can't be replaced. You are that unique. You are that personal to Jesus, and he will come meet you in such a personal way that he wouldn't meet Rob, wouldn't meet Chuck, wouldn't meet anybody else. C.S. Lewis used to say that God never plays the same tune twice. And as I get older, I agree with that. He comes to us in different ways, doesn't he? Because we're all unique and we're all personal. And he relates to us in a personal and unique way. So that's missional living. But it's temporary. It's temporary. Because when we get to heaven, we don't have to woo other people to the gospel, because the work will have been done. So I want to encourage you today. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ to seek and to save what has been lost. You bring life and you bring love with you everywhere you go. And this world desperately needs it. And the larger story that we all live in, if we don't engage in that story, then something gets lost. Something gets lost. So play your part today. And every day, it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. This world needs you. This city needs you. This church needs you. Let me pray real quick. Rob, would you come up and play another song for us? Jesus, thank you for revealing to us that we are your ambassadors. That we come on behalf of you to love this world, to love this city, to bring life and to bring love. That we are unique in that, Jesus. No one else can do it like us. And if we don't do it, then something gets lost. I pray this morning for every heart in here that you would reach out to each of us in such a way that you would download this into our hearts, not just our minds, but our hearts. That our hearts are the wellspring of life. That you would remind us to guard them above all else. And I pray that in this room, that your spirit would impress upon us how precious we are to you. How much you love us in a deep and unique way. Remind us that we live in a larger story. And remind us that everything that we do can have an impact for your kingdom that is forcefully advancing. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you right now. We pray that you would fill us with your spirit. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.